There's something special about what's happening this morning as we commission our elders, right? Why is it special? Well, on the one hand, it's because we had our church is a young church in the scheme of things. It may not seem like that for some of you because you've kind of popped in along the way, but the church is only 12 years old, if I've got my maths right. I'm hoping that I might get a nod from Simone. We're only 12 years old, so we're relatively young in the scheme of things. And this is the first time that our church in its 12-year history has appointed elders. I do know there was at least one person who used to come here who's now serving as a minister, but I don't believe that anybody was appointed as an elder while they were here. So this is a milestone in our church's history as we raise up elders seeking to be faithful to what the Bible calls us to do, God's word. Now, it's also a sign that our church is growing into maturity. Every day it gets harder and harder to call us a church plant because we're becoming more matured and established as a church family. And for me, it's special because almost exactly 10 years ago, I was ordained as an elder myself in Queensland. The Lord made me a pastor in his church those 10 years ago, and it's special for me to be doing this on that 10th anniversary. Now, in those 10 years, I've seen elders rise and fall. I've been involved in the training and appointment of some elders. I've served in a team of elders, and I've served on my own. And I know from personal experience the importance of the words that we are looking at this morning, right? This is not some idle thing. God didn't put these words in here just to add color to the scriptures and the story. No, he's put them here for a reason, and we need to hear them. All of us need to hear and understand his word. And in particular, this morning, we'll be looking at this passage from Acts 20. There is many pitfalls in the work of elders. There's many pitfalls for the congregation in the way that they might treat and respond to their elders. And we know there's many pitfalls because every couple months or every month we hear about some other pastor who's done some other thing and failed. It's heavy work and it's dangerous work. It's not only dangerous for one's own soul, but maybe dangerous isn't the right word. Risky, let's say. Risky for one's own soul and one's own family, but for the people that those elders are leading, elders risk dishonoring the name of Christ very publicly. So it's very important that we do this well. Now, the passages about elders in the Bible, there's a few particular ones. There's a few key passages. This passage in Acts, there's sections of 1 and 2 Timothy. The letters of 1 and 2 Timothy are to an elder, an overseer in a church. The letter to Titus, which is about how Titus was to be an overseer in the church. And there's a section in 1 Peter 5 as well. Those are the main passages about elders. And of course, we'd be here all day if we were to work through each of them in detail. But we're focusing in with this charge to the elders and to all of us through this part of Acts chapter 20. Now, my goal here this morning with this part of the message is threefold. To give a charge to our new elders, but I'm not just talking to them, I'm also talking to all of us, because we all need to be reminded about how the elders are to carry out their office, what we should expect of them. And then thirdly, to remind us of our duty towards our leaders under Christ. And after that, we'll get the blokes up, we'll pray for them and commission them to this work. So now you know where we're going. Let's have a think and a look at our passage. The first thing that we notice in the passage as we read through it is that Paul uses the example of his life as a way to kind of show them, the elders, how they are to live. He holds himself up as a positive example. And now he's doing this because he has labored among them and they've seen him. But as I mentioned before, as I alluded to before, Paul knows that this is probably the last time he's going to see them. Even though he's lived with them for a couple of years, even though he's been alongside them and worked and come and visited them, this is the last chance. And so he's sailing past I can't remember where he started out from, Miletus. He's sailing from Miletus to Jerusalem, but the boat stops in down at the coast off Ephesus. And so he sends a message ahead to get the elders to come down to out of Ephesus, where these elders are serving, to come down and to meet him where his boat is going to dock, and they have this time that they shared together. And as I jokingly said, it's the first pastor's conference, where they got them all together and they encouraged one another, and they were encouraged particularly by Paul. So Paul gets them all together, and he's basically, this is his last chance to impart some wisdom, to encourage them, to build them up, to warn them. It's his last opportunity. And so he has this really dense piece of scripture that really highlights what was important about what he did for them and how they are to do the same thing, to follow his example. Firstly, I want to point out the fact that he did live among the people. Sometimes in some religious traditions, you end up with the religious leaders living separately from the people. They're kind of this other class. But Paul didn't do that. He lived among the people. He labored among them. He was meeting them day by day, and he was serving them. And that's what I think we should expect of our elders. They're not this other special class. They are one of God's people who God has given a special office to among the people. You'll also see that Paul very clearly was focused on proclaiming the truth, unashamedly, day by day. He warns them with tears. He declared to them the whole counsel of God. And he was so diligent in his proclamation of the gospel to them that he was able to say, I'm innocent of the blood of all of you. You have no excuse. I've told you everything. And this too should be something that elders do, that they are unashamedly proclaimers of this gospel of grace, that they unashamedly stand on God's word and share it with God's people so that they may be equipped to face the Lord. In some sense, the ministry of elders is one of preparing God's people for death. It's a bit morbid of a way to think, right? But in some sense, that's what we want, every one of you to be prepared to meet God face to face and to meet him through Jesus Christ. And so the elders need not shirk their duty in doing everything in their power to get you ready to meet Jesus, to do everything to show yourself as a worker approved. And so our elders should not shrink back from sharing anything that is profitable. The most profitable thing that we can teach one another, that we can share with one another, that the elders can proclaim, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This great news that Jesus came into the world, sent from God the Father. He came into the world as a man, and as both God and man in flesh, he saved a people by living a righteous life, by fulfilling the scriptures, and becoming the Savior that God intended, so that he could save humanity, so he could save a people for himself. And how did he do it? Well, he did it through that righteous life, and he did it by going to the cross to die for our sins. He died on the cross for our sins. He made atonement for us with his body, with his blood. And then he defeated death. He didn't stay dead. The atonement wasn't just once and he was gone, because God is life. How can life die? He was risen from the dead. And so now he also acts as a forerunner for those who come to God and who are joined to God, who believe and trust in Jesus. He will give them resurrection life too. Not only will they receive forgiveness of sins, they will receive a resurrection life in Jesus. And they will be embodied once more and live with our Lord forever, for eternity. And this is the greatest news. This is the greatest news. There is no other greater news to share with people other than you can be made right with God. You can have eternal life with him. And so our elders need to have that front and center, like Paul had it front and center throughout the entirety of his ministry. We also see, though, that Paul was willing to suffer. The example of his life is one of suffering. And so we should be unsurprised because he followed a suffering Savior. And so too, we all should expect to suffer. But what we will expect for the elders, the public face of the church, those who are leading the church, we will expect them to bear the brunt of some of the suffering. They must be willing to suffer, to give up their own life for the sake of others. And we already know that they have a desire and an intention to do this because of the way that we've seen the elders that we're appointing this morning, the way we've seen them serve their families. Because Christ calls husbands to lay down their life for their wives. And so in a broader picture, elders lay down their lives for the sake of Christ's church, for the sake of Christ, for his body, as they lead his church. You also see here that in this passage, Paul puts forward the example of him being a hard worker and not greedy, right? It's interesting that there's several places where elders are told not to be greedy, not to be lovers of money. And so it's no surprise here that Paul says, look, I wasn't greedy. I didn't want your money. Now, we're told, of course, that it is appropriate to pay some of the elders. And that's why it says, for those who labor in preaching and teaching, they're worthy of double honor. And there's an implication there that they should be paid or remunerated for their efforts so that they can be devoted to this. But there is also an appropriateness to being... there are also elders that serve without physical reward. And our elders this morning have said that they will do that. That they will continue in their other labors, their day jobs, but they will also serve the church. Paul also holds up the example of himself being one who is willing to help the weak and to supply for those who were with him. He was generous. So there's more to Paul's example, of course, but in this passage, I think those things stand forward as elements that he is pointing to and saying, look, this is the way it should be, and this is the example that you should follow. And of course, it's not just an example. Most of those things are not just examples for elders to follow, but for all of us to follow in the way that we live our lives and to follow after Jesus. But then Paul comes to a particular part of the passage that I want to focus in on. And I'm calling it the charge. The charge. The charge is in verse 27 and 28, where Paul says to the elders, specifically commanding them, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. So there's many parts to this. Let's break it down. He tells them to pay careful attention to themselves. That's the first part. Pay careful attention to themselves, that you may walk in accordance with Christ and not depart from this. Now, as I've said before, and I'll remind you again, the elders are not all of us are called to be holy, right? In some sense, every man in the church should be of the qualification, the character qualifications required to be an elder. That's what all of us are called to. So these elders need to pay attention to themselves, not so that they attain some kind of higher level of holiness than everybody else, but so that they just live as that they are called to live, like every other Christian. They don't get off the hook because of their position, and they just because they're helping others and focusing on others doesn't mean that their own holiness is not important. So elders must pay careful attention to themselves, their own walk with Christ, that they are fulfilling the character qualifications, they're doing what Christ would have them do, they're being faithful to Jesus. So pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So when we're talking about elders, we're talking about pastoral language here. So there's the pastoral being about sheep and flocks, herds of sheep, and goats in some cases. But we've got that language. He's tying together that imagery of looking after a flock of sheep. So pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock that is the church of God. And so the flock is a way that we use to describe the local church, the local gathering of believers. That these are the ones to whom their elders are serving and overseeing and leading. They have to pay attention to this flock, to those who are under their care. Elders, you must watch over them. You must pastor them. Pastor, that word pastor, comes from this language of flocks, right? A pastor is a shepherd. And so to pastor is to shepherd people, to shepherd the flock. Now, we don't like to be compared to sheep. If you've had much experience with sheep, sometimes sheep are dull, dumb. They look weird if you look at them in the eye. They've got like funny shaped eyes. Sheep do silly things. And in some sense, the connection between us as people and sheep is derogatory, but in an important way. It keeps us humble. It reminds us of our need for a great shepherd, Jesus, but it also reminds us of our own foolishness and folly, that we would go astray if it were not for guardrails put up by the Lord in our life, if it were not for the shepherd Jesus who pulls us out of the crag, so to speak, and puts us on level ground. And so Jesus accomplishes that ministry through local shepherds. And so, yes, we are sheep. We are sometimes defenseless. There are many among us who are literally defenseless. But also in terms of spiritually, we need those who will watch over us and guide us and lead us to Jesus. Sometimes the shepherd work is idealized, right? If you picture in your mind a shepherd, perhaps you're thinking of green downs, you know, on a sunny day with a shepherd, you know, wistfully standing there with his crook overlooking a flock. And sure, there are moments in the life of the pastor where that is the case, where it's all lovely and everything is peaceful and calm and everything's going smoothly. But those are the good days. There are also the days where the shepherd is out in the storm, weathering the storm, looking for those missing sheep. There are the days when there are those sheep that just jumped off some high ledge, or they go missing and you've got to go and find them. There are those days where it is hot and hard, and those days where it is cold and freezing, when one is dusty and dirty and just wishes that they could go home and forget about it all. But good shepherds don't leave the sheep. In fact, Jesus talks about those shepherds who do leave the sheep, doesn't he? You know, those who are the hired hands, those guys who are just in it for the money, and when the going gets tough, they leave. But that's not the kinds of shepherds that Jesus needs for his church. He needs ones who will stick it out, come hell or high water, who don't give up when the work is hard. Jesus didn't give up. He endured to the end to fulfill the mission, and so we need to follow in his footsteps, and elders, you need to follow in the footsteps of Christ to lead the church, lead them to the living water that is Christ, lead them to the green fields, the green pastures, of the rich fields of God's work, and don't give up when it's hard. But we're also reminded in this passage, in this charge, that the Holy Spirit is making you overseers. Even though it's happened through the ordinary processes of things like putting somebody forward, nominating them, even though it's happened through the ordinary processes of like training sessions and a vote that we had the other week, even though it was through these ordinary things, we believe that the Holy Spirit has been working through his people to appoint you. And so you're being appointed to care for the church of God by the Holy Spirit. So do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Do not turn a blind ear to him, but reverence and honor God in the Holy Spirit, knowing that he's made you an overseer. Take up this task with due reverence. It's not just a administrative work. It's not just an added extra little thing that gets tacked on the end. This is the work that the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. And we notice here that they're being called to care for the church. Now, care kind of conjures up maternal imagery, right? Of nurturing and being welcoming and fixing things up. And so there is some sense in which the pastors of a church are kind of maternal in that way. But the word behind this word care in the English comes back to, unsurprisingly, it's shepherding language. It's literally herding, you know, herd the church of God. It's protecting the church. That's the way that they care for the church. They herd, they protect, they guide. That is what they're being called to do, to guide God's church in this way. But then comes up the question, well, protect from whom? What do they need protecting from? Well, Paul gives some examples in the following verses from verse 29, where he says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. So you see here that Paul knows that there is a real danger. There is real risk of false teachers coming from outside in. There's a real risk of false teachers arising from within the church. And so we need elders who will be ready to face down those fierce wolves, who will be ready to expose those wolves in sheep's clothing, who will not be molded and made malleable to just keep the peace no matter what, because that can sometimes be our what we lean into, what we would naturally do. We just want to keep the peace. We don't want to rock the boat. But if somebody's drilling a hole in the side of the boat, it doesn't matter. You might need to have some rocking of the boat to get rid of the one who is drilling the hole in the side of the boat. Sometimes there will be rough seas, but they're necessary in order to be able to deal with those false teachers, with those wolves that come in. All right? And we need elders who will steadfastly stand firm and who will face down the enemies of God. And I was thinking this morning that it's a bit like Adam, right? Adam was given charge over a garden. He was to protect and keep the garden, to guard it. And he failed to identify the enemy of God and to turf him out of the garden. And we want elders who are not like Adam in that way, but instead elders who will turf out Satan when he's found in our midst. And sometimes coming back to that shepherd imagery, we think of shepherds as being, you know, kind of mild and quiet. But it's also worth remembering that one of the greatest imagery of shepherd was David, right? And how did David protect the sheep? Well, he went out with his staff and his rod to face down lions and bears. All right? And we're following in a great shepherd of the sheep who literally faced the dragon and dethroned him so that Satan was struck down. Now, it's not our job to strike down Satan in the same way that Jesus did, but we're following in his footsteps. And so being the kind of person who sometimes turns over tables in the temples is not off the cards. We need elders who protect. And lastly, I want to bring your attention to the fact that these, in terms of this charge to elders, that they need to be alert. What does it say? Be alert. This sober-mindedness is important for elders. To be on aware and not just kind of letting things pass them by, of being passive in every way, but instead to be alert, to be on the case. Ready to put to shame false teachers, ready to admonish and build up God's people. And so, elders, I give you this charge. In the words of Paul, pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I'll draw your attention now to the last part of the passage that we're looking at this morning in verse 32 with a commendation that Paul gives. He gives a commendation. He says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Paul gives these elders over. He commends them. He gives them to God's grace. He says, he commends them to God. He puts them in God's hands so that they might be built up, then they might receive an inheritance among those whom are sanctified. And we pray that this might be the case for our elders as well, that they might be built up and they might have an inheritance, that they would not be like other elders down through the ages who have failed in this work, but instead that they might live out of the grace of God. They might live in the expectation of receiving an inheritance, not as one who turns their back on the family of God, but as one who remains faithful in God's house. We pray that they would be sanctified as well. All right, so we've talked about what elders are to do. So we've spoken to our elders to give them a charge. We've been reminded about what elders do and how they behave. But now we just need to reflect for a few moments on how we, as the church, respond to our elders, how we should treat them. What are our obligations? Well, the scriptures are not silent on this. Well, I'll come to that verse in a moment. We are to honor our elders. And for you, who are citizens of Australia, I am bringing this to your attention, because it is your natural cultural instinct to chop down tall poppies, all right? That's our natural cultural instinct, and so we need to fight against it, okay? We should honor our leaders. We know that it's a national pastime to talk trash about politicians, right? But it should not be so among us, right? Not that we don't identify the problems or talk about truth, but in the sense that we still honor those that God has placed over us. And the same goes for our elders, okay? Honor them with your words. Honor them with the way that you treat them and talk to others about them. And so one of the ways that we do that is we don't gossip, right? And we don't look for reasons to undermine them or look for reasons to dismiss them or think that we shouldn't listen to what they say. And Paul warns the church that Timothy was leading that if there is an issue, that there needs to be evidence. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. Now, we don't go looking for problems where there are none to be found. We're not to be divisive and kind of, we're not on the hunt for these things. But if there is issues, we do want to deal with them, okay? So it is your obligation, if there is issues that need to be dealt with, to bring the evidence, okay? But instead of looking for reasons to diminish them, look for ways to help them in their work. Look for ways to imitate them, because that's what we are called to do. We are to watch them and to imitate their way of life. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith, okay? Insofar as your leaders are following Jesus, follow them and do what they do. And remember them. Remember them in your prayers. From the outside, you guys might just see your elders who stand up at the front sometimes and they talk about church sometimes. But they will be carrying a daily burden of the church. Sometimes it's an easier burden and things are kind of on autopilot and going well. But sometimes there's sleepless nights. Sometimes there's tears. Sometimes there is great anxiety for the church, as Paul talks about. So please remember your elders and remember that they have a special burden that they are carrying as they seek to serve God and you. And in Hebrews again, later on in chapter 13, we're told, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So we see here how important it is for us to obey our leaders. Again, this cuts across the grain of the culture, right? I'll do my own thing and I'll listen to my leaders when it's convenient for me. But that's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to obey and submit to our leaders. And in particular, we're talking about those here who are keeping watch over your souls, your overseers, your elders. Now, we've talked in previous weeks, and every so often we raise the point that each authority in the world, God has given a sphere of authority, an area of authority, and there are boundaries to where that is. But within that authority, we should obey our leaders and submit to them. And so that is our obligation to our elders. I hope that this has been clear. And I'm happy, of course, to take questions about this. You can send them through or have a chat about them. So we've talked about, we've charged our elders to watch over the flock. We've been reminded about what they do. We have been reminded about our obligations to our elders. And so now it comes to the moment that we've all been waiting for, where we're actually going to invite them up and ordain them. Now you might think, oh, that sounds like a very spiritual word, ordain. Well, actually, it just comes from the Latin for putting things in order. You remember in the opening verse of Titus where Paul says, you know, do what remained and put things into order, appointing elders. That's what we're talking about, putting things in order, appointing elders. We can also use words like commission, you know, give them this job, appoint, delegate, you know, whatever word you want to use. Don't get caught up on the word. Just think, focus on what we're actually doing. I invite them to kind of make their way up as I say a few words. We have not been being hasty in the laying on of hands. We're warned not to be hasty in the laying on of hands. Instead, we've been praying for God to raise up elders. And it has not only been us. I don't know if I've shared this with you, but there have been churches in other parts of Australia who have been praying for us in the appointment of elders over the last 4 years. Okay, it's been a long process. I preached through 1 Timothy to prepare us for appointing elders. We nominated these two men as candidates, and we've prepared them with training and other things to take up this task. You guys have had ample time to examine their way of life and their character. You've heard them teach you. And I, as the existing elder, have endorsed them, and you've endorsed them with your vote the other week. And so with confidence, we can say we haven't been hasty in the laying on of hands. We've thought about this carefully and diligently worked towards this day. And I also note that Jesus said, if anyone would be first, he must be last and servant of all. And we've seen that with these two guys as they have served the body. They do not think themselves too high. They are first to serve others, to be there to help. They're happy to stack the chairs. Dylan this morning still doing the sound. They are quick to serve among us. And they have a keen awareness of their own limitations. We had to encourage them to take up this task. They weren't grasping for it. It is a noble thing to desire to be an elder, but these guys weren't going out of their way to find it, but they are willing to take up this mantle. And so I'm going to ask them some questions, then we'll lay hands on them and pray for them, and then I'll pray for all of us. Can I get one of you on either side? Yeah. And with the laying on of hands, it's not mystical, it's not magical, but it is symbolic of passing on authority, right? Okay? So if you're wondering why I'm not inviting a bunch of people up, it's because in this moment, this is a symbolic action of saying you are being given authority to be an elder. So let me ask you some questions. My brothers, the church is the family of God, the body of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit. All baptized people are called to make Christ known as Savior and Lord, and to share in the renewing of his word. Now you are called to work as shepherd, overseer, and teacher, together with your fellow elder. And as an elder, it will be your task to proclaim by word and deed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to fashion your life in accordance with its precepts. You are to love and serve the people among whom you work, caring alike for young and old, strong and weak, rich and poor. You're to preach to declare God's forgiveness to penitent sinners, to pronounce God's blessing, to oversee the administration of the sacraments. And in all you do, you are to nourish Christ's people from the riches of his grace and to strengthen them to glorify God in this life and in the life to come. My question for you is, do you intend to care for the church of God, which Christ obtained with his own blood? Will you oversee, shepherd, and teach in the service of Jesus and do so willingly as an example to the flock? Will you teach and uphold the word of God, the Bible, as understood in our statement of beliefs? Will you proclaim the true gospel and silence false teachers?
Yes.
Do you agree to pursue our mission to present Christ to everyone and everyone mature in Christ?
Yes.
With that, I charge you to be careful, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which Christ, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I invite you to kneel and I'll put my hands on you. You've got to get close. Let's pray. God and Father of all, we praise you for your infinite love in calling us to be a holy people in the kingdom of your Son, who is the image of your eternal invisible glory, the firstborn among many brethren, the head of the church. We thank you that by Jesus' death he has overcome death and, having ascended into heaven, has poured his gifts abundantly on your people. We believe that through the operation of your Spirit in the midst of this church, that these men have been put apart to take up this office of elder and overseer. Lord, we set them apart here today for your service in your church. Therefore, Father, through Jesus Christ your Son, give your Holy Spirit to Paco and Dylan for the fulfillment of this office. Fill them with grace and power and make them faithful shepherds in your church. May they exalt you, O Lord, in the midst of your people. May they offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to you, boldly proclaim the gospel of salvation, and oversee the right administration of the sacraments among us. By the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, please enable these men to guard the good deposit entrusted to them. Enable them to do their best to present themselves to you as workers approved, who have no reason to be ashamed, who rightly handle the word of truth. Enable them to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching, declaring the whole counsel of God. Enable them to suffer well, sharing in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Enable them to watch over the flock with joy and not with groaning, to pay careful attention to themselves and to all the flock, to willingly stand against wolves, brave to face them. Enable them to care well for the church of God, shepherding the flock of God that is among us, exercising oversight, being examples to the flock so that they may be worthy of receiving an unfading crown of glory when Christ, our chief shepherd, appears. Lord, please keep them from dishonoring the name of Jesus, the Christ, through disqualification, false teaching, or apostasy. Keep them from greed. Keep them from the temptation to shirk their duties. Keep them from domineering. Protect their families from the evil one. Lord, please make them faithful pastors, patient teachers, wise counselors. Grant that in all things that they may serve without reproach, so that your people may be strengthened and your name glorified in all the world. And we commend them to you, Lord. We commend Paco and Dylan to you through the word of your grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among those who are sanctified. And we pray these things in the name of our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me keep praying and pray for all of us. For our part, Lord, we come to you now and we ask that you would enable us to obey our leaders and submit to them, knowing that these elders are keeping watch over our souls as those to whom we will have to give, who are keeping watch over our souls, knowing that they will have to give an account. Lord, help us to honor them and to keep us from making unfounded charges against their character and actions. Lord, clothe all of us with humility towards one another, knowing that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Lord, we ask that you would grow your flock such that you need to raise up more shepherds to oversee us, and that you would raise up more shepherds to minister to other churches across Gippsland and beyond. Please, Lord, glorify your name here and everywhere. Grow your kingdom through your gospel. All this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. I encourage you to warmly welcome your new brothers, your new elders. Please stand up and greet them and thank God for them. God, shake some hands.